the African tom-toms calls us to another worldwide grace testimony missionary program. From our headquarters in Milwaukee, we're very happy again to greet you in our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing you this broadcast concerning the missionary project of the Worldwide Grace Testimony. To those of you who have tuned into our program for the first time, let us say that this program reaches you with a sincere desire, first of all, to inform you of the gospel of the grace of God in order that you might know the saving grace of Jesus Christ and through him have everlasting life, and then that through your cooperation you may be instrumental along with us in carrying this message of salvation to the very ends of the earth. Again, we have with us today one of our missionaries whose home here in this country is in Riverside, California, and yet one who has made Africa really the place of his adoption. That is Mr. Francis Pearl Pickett, who with his family are on their way back to the Belgian Congo, there to preach the gospel to those millions of natives who have never yet heard the gospel. We're happy to introduce Mr. Pickett.
Today, the watchword is service for our country and for humanity. We are told to do all we can in order that we might help to defeat our enemies and bring peace. We are urged to work, to produce more and more, to fight in the armed services, to buy bonds, to sacrifice, and to do all in our power to help bring this conflict upon the earth. All true Americans know this. We must do these things. Some of us are Christians as well as Americans. As Christians, trusting in Christ as our personal Savior, we have a Christian watchword too. That is also service. We do not become Christians just to be able to go to heaven. Had God only intended this, he probably would have taken us there as soon as we were saved. But he did not. He left us here for a purpose, and that purpose is service for him that others also might be saved. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, how that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then in verse 10, we read that we are his workmanship, because it is he who saves us, not ourselves. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see, so many, many Christians think of salvation through Christ just as a way to escape hell. It is more than this. It is a life to live for God, a life to live as God wants us to live and to serve him. We each have a service, a place to fill in God's program of redemption. In Acts chapter 13, verse 47, we read, "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Yes, we are laborers together with God. We are to be ambassadors in his service, representing him here on earth, beseeching men to be reconciled to him. We enjoy great blessings in this, our beloved country. We have liberty. We have freedom. We have material wealth more so than any other people. In turn for these privileges, we pay taxes. We serve our country in peace and war. We fight in its armies. We work abroad and at home. Likewise, as Christians, we also are to serve God for all he gives us. Not to be saved, but because we are saved. We fight for America not to become American, but because we are already Americans. Paul, in writing in Romans, the 12th chapter, tells us, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, That is because of God's mercy in giving us life and all the blessings of the Christian life. That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We often forget as Christians that God loves the world, not just us, and our part of the world. Christ died for the red man, the brown, the yellow, and the black man, as well as for the white man. In Africa, where we have had the privilege of working and serving God, there are people which have none of our material blessings, to say nothing of our spiritual blessings and eternal life. God's heart goes out to them as they live and die in their nakedness, in their hunger and pain and fear. He wants them to know the Savior. He has the power to redeem them and to save them as he did us. But he depends upon us Christians, as our country depends on its citizens. God must have volunteers for his army, men and women, boys and girls, who have wholehearted confidence in his ability to save and to keep. We need young people as eager to enlist for Christ and his service as they are to enlist in the service of our country now in the time of its need. Many fathers and mothers are proud of their sons and daughters as they serve their country, even unto death. You, Christian fathers and mothers, do you encourage, do you pray for your sons and daughters that they might go forth to bring light and life to a darkened and dying world? Christian parents, are you as proud of your children who volunteer as missionaries and Christian workers as those who put on the uniform of our land? Suppose a paper came out with headlines which read that a large city such as San Jose was wiped from the face of the earth. Each day another such city would be gone. Would you sit idly by if you could do something to prevent it? But some 96,000 of people die each day without knowing of Christ as their Savior, going into a Christless eternity because we Christians have not sent them the message of salvation. Our hearts bleed when we read of the great losses of cities crushed and destroyed in war. What about these two who are eternally lost? Young people, let us volunteer to go. Christians, let us send out our youth. Let us all pray and give, that we might be the laborers God expects of every believer in Christ. We are to bring in precious souls for whom Christ died, that they might have the knowledge of him, in order that they might be saved. Let us not be slackers in the service of God any more than in the service of our country.
Our speaker today, Mr. Francis Pearl Pickett, a missionary under the Worldwide Grace Testimony Mission. Won't you write in to us today? Send us a card or letter. Tell us you were tuned in. Your letters and cards will be of great encouragement to us to keep us on the air. There may be those of our listening audience today who are personally acquainted with our speaker, Mr. Pickett, and I'm sure that he would be very happy to have a letter from you. Just address the Worldwide Grace Testimony, 2525 West Hadley Street, Milwaukee 6, Wisconsin. If you write in, we'll be happy to send you to some tracts and also the missionary newspaper that we publish every month. We'll send that to you free, so just remember to write to us, the Worldwide Grace Testimony, 2525 West Hadley, Milwaukee 6, Wisconsin. In the remaining moments that we have together, I would like to speak to you about the word peace. That's a word that we all would like to hear pronounced upon the lips of everyone in the world today, that it were really a reality, that this world had peace again. Well, you know, since the beginning of time, it seems that man has been at enmity. Way back there in the Garden of Eden, the serpent came in, brought enmity. We find that the very first man born into the world became a murderer. There was strife there in that first family. And it's been so right down through time. And even today, the terrible strife that's going on in the world. Will there never come a time when peace shall come to this old earth? Yes, dear friend, there is a time coming. The Prince of Peace came into the world, and we know that he was rejected. Man did not want him here. Man did not want to be interfered with by the Prince of Peace, and so man crucified him, nailed him to a cross, and tried to get rid of him, but God raised him from the dead. You know, he sent his Holy Spirit now into the world and preaching peace through our Lord Jesus. And friend, today you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace by simply believing the gospel. God has made the peace himself. The terms of peace are suitable to God. I wonder if they are to you. Well, we know that someday the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth, and he's coming back not meek and lowly, riding upon an ass as he did in the days of his flesh, but he's coming in power and great glory. And he's coming to dash the nations to pieces. He's going to break them as a potter's vessel is broken. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to bring this world into subjection. Yes, he's going to subdue his enemies. Well, he's going to bring peace upon the earth, thank God. He's going to bring peace. Well, that day is not here now, and that's not what God's doing now, but we can talk about this wonderful word peace, because you personally can have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God has made peace. The terms have already been made. God is not asking you to make peace with him. He has made peace by the blood of his cross to reconcile all things unto himself. And we're justified by faith and have peace with God. Friend, just stop and ask yourself this question today. Do I have peace with God? If I had to stand before God today, would I be on a basis of peace with him? Could he receive me unto himself? Would there be anything to condemn me or to separate me or to cause the wrath of God to fall upon me? Well, if there is not an affirmative answer to that question, you should stop and investigate and see that Jesus Christ has done something sufficient to make you have peace with God. But you know, there's something else about peace, and that is what we call the peace of God. And that's spoken of in Philippians, for example, where we're told as Christians to just commit everything to God in prayer and supplication, being anxious for nothing. And we have the wonderful promise that the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Having the peace of God, the experience of that peace. But you know, there's another peace, and I just mention it today in 1 minute that we have left, and it's in the second chapter of Ephesians. I leave it with you and ask you to turn to it and study about it, found in the 14th verse and through the 18th verse. And that is this: he, that is Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I wonder if you ever thought of this, that there was a spirit of enmity between the Jew and the Gentile at one time, and because of the dispensation of the law, there was a separation. But when Christ died on the cross and accomplished that work of salvation, and this message of grace was sent out to the Gentiles, the middle wall of partition was broken down, and Christ made peace between these two great groups of humanity, so that today in the body of Christ there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. Well, we'll have to say goodbye now. This is the Worldwide Grace Testimony broadcast, and the address, if you'd like to write in, is 2525 West Hadley Street, Milwaukee 6, Wisconsin. Pastor Charles Baker, the Secretary of the Mission, has been speaking to you these last few moments and bidding you God's richest blessings.